Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I hope you all had a lovely week and I'm very excited about this week's guest. I've actually been saying for a while now, because me and her recorded this episode a month ago, that I would put it up as a bonus episode, but it just took me so feckin' long to edit. And then it was actually very long, the episode, so I was like, actually, I should just put it up as a regular Tuesday episode. But it's with Sex Shuppa, Shauna Scott. So if you guys don't know who Shauna Scott is, she is a sex educator and she has a sex positive online boutique in Ireland. She's from America, but her boutique is in Ireland, so it's sexshuppa.ie. But even if you're not from Ireland, you can kind of look up her Instagram and it's very informational on just like sex positive stuff, especially toys. She sells body safe toys. So she's brilliant. And I was delighted to have her on because I just wanted to kind of have the rundown on sex toys, because like the only sex toys I've ever used are the ones she's given me. And that's just vibrators. I've never used a dildo. I have no idea how to or what to buy if I went into the store. And for men's sex toys, one time one of the lads showed me like his masturbator, like it was like a sleeve thing, but I was like, other than that, I wouldn't really have a clue. So she just gave her the whole rundown. And then we actually also ended up talking about STDs as well. So yeah, enjoy this episode. If you want to watch the video, it's on the Patreon /The Shift Podcast. Also, next week's episode is already up there with the video and the audio. And then lastly, there's also solo episodes. So with the solo episodes, like I've said before, it's just an online sort of diary of my dating life over here. And so a most recent ending of my 7 week fling, 6-7 weeks fling with the new guy I had been dating. So new guy stayed new guy because new guy is now no guy. God, I'm such a fucking loser. No wonder he's no guy. But that's all up there on the Patreon. So I just kind of sort of online diary about like trying to date in a pandemic and the kind of ups and downs of that. So yeah, if you want to go and listen to that, that'd be great. And it's pay what you want. But other than that, enjoy this episode and I'll talk to you at the end. Well, so I asked you on because my roommate was texting me like at a sex shop and she was like, what sex toy should I be buying? And I was like, I don't know, like a vibrator. And she was like, what's the difference between a dildo and a vibrator? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I just used the one that Sex Shuppa gave me. So then she was like, oh, you should ask her to do like a rundown of what each one, what these, all these, because like you go in, it's overwhelming. You're like, I don't know. Do I want this? Do I want that? Or what's the difference? So do you think you could help us with that?
Yeah, definitely. Like there's so much choice, especially now, like the sex toy industry has just kind of exploded in the last 10 years. And like, especially now during lockdown, like I'm doing more than Christmas level sales like all year long. So I think I'm getting like a lot more of these questions from people. Like I have no, it's like so many people who have never bought sex toys before are entering a marketplace where there's just like a vast amount of choice, like more choice than there's ever been before. So this is great. Let's do this.
Yeah. So, and especially, I guess, with the past year, especially with the CDC being like, love yourself.
Yeah.
That's great. So, but what are the different types of toys? Like, what are the basic ones?
Okay. So, you have, well, just there's different toys for like different parts of the body. So if we're going to like talk to your flatmate, if I'm just going to pretend like I'm talking to your flatmate, the difference between a dildo and a vibrator is a dildo doesn't vibrate. So a vibrator like can be a dildo when you switch it off, but it's like a dildo just refers to it being insertable. A vibrator refers to it like having the capacity to like to vibrate.
So your dildo, or sorry, your vibrator, you can stick it in yourself as well.
If you like, some vibrators you can, some vibrators you can't. Like the one that I gave you would be like just a clitoral vibrator, so that wouldn't be a dildo. But if you had one that you used internally, like that would be, you could use that as a dildo when you switch it off, or as a vibrator when you turn the vibrator on.
And would you turn the vibrator on while it's inside you? No.
I mean, you can do. It's like it's like whatever you want to do, but usually, like, if you go into a sex shop and you ask someone for a dildo, they're not going to show you the vibrators. They're going to show you like the non-vibrating toys.
Okay. And so, but the dildo would be more for people who orgasm internally, right? Then, and so the vibrator is more for people who get more clitoris.
Yeah. And sometimes there's both, like that's where like rabbit vibrators come in, is like it has the internal like dildo part, and then it has like the clitoral vibe as well. And both can vibrate, or they can vibrate independent of each other. Like, again, there's so much choice nowadays. Like any way that you could possibly orgasm, there is a toy out there for you.
And so if someone was beginning to use toys, what would you suggest them to go for first?
Depends on the customer, and like depends on what they like. What I usually say to people is to like masturbate and figure out what you like with your hands, and then hopefully that will help determine what you might like in a toy. So if you're someone who really loves like external stimulation, and then like no penetration at all, or if you're someone who like really likes penetration, what I'd recommend for those people are going to be completely different. Or if you're someone who is new to like butt stuff and wants to try like a bit of butt stuff along with like clitoral stimulation, I might recommend like a couple of different toys. So it's like, it's different for every person.
Okay. And so with that thought, I had a question there, but it's actually slipping my mind. Well, see, about butt plugs.
Yeah. So
what are butt plugs, and what are the different, like, okay, I know I've seen those beads.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a few different types of like anal toys. You'd have dildos, beads, and butt plugs would sort of be like the main one. Oh, and then also like you can get massage, like prostate massagers, or like, it's like a butt plug, but like with a vibrator. So it'd be like an anal vibrator. So like a dildo is just like a dildo, right? Regular old dildo. But anything that like goes in your butt, you want to make sure has like a flared base. The base should be wider than the actual, than the widest point of like the toy, because you don't want it getting lost inside you. That happens more often than you would like to think. I have like friends who work in emergency rooms, friends who work as nurses, who end up with patients who end up putting stuff in their butt that like shouldn't be there. And a lot of that could have been prevented if they had just used something that had a flared base. So dildos with like a flared base, anal beads, which like you said, are like the long, they'd have like little beads. The thing that's great about those is like, the way like most people would use them is they pop them in slowly, and then when you're getting like closer to the point of orgasm, you kind of pull them out one at a time. It feels really nice, and it just like throws you over the edge. Wow. So they're really good if you want something that's just going to, that you can kind of like build up with, like, because again, you're putting each bead in sort of slowly and then like pulling them out, so you're kind of like building up to that point of orgasm. A butt plug is just, they tend to be like smaller than like a dildo, and it's just like stationary. There's no vibrating component, that you can get vibrating ones, but for all intents and purposes, like a butt plug is just like a stationary item that just like sits in there, and you just clench on it with your butt muscles, with your sphincter muscles, and that feels really nice, especially if you have a prostate. So if you have a prostate, like having something that like rubs against like either a butt plug or like a prostate massager, so like a vibrator that like rubs against your prostate gland, feels really nice. And some people can orgasm just by like prostate massage alone.
And so for people who don't have a prostate, but butt stuff feels good, why is that? Is that just because there's so much nerve endings?
There's so many nerve endings, like so many nerve endings, like just around the anus. So like, even if you're not into things being inserted in your butt, like even just taking a finger and like a little bit of lubricant and just rubbing the outside can feel really nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And that's kind of like less intimidating for people who are like,
there's a lot of people who think that if you're going to like do anal play that you have to go whole hog and use like a massive dildo or go like straight from like zero to anal sex with a partner. And that is like, there's grades to these things. You don't just go from like zero to like penis in the butt.
No,
that's not how it works.
There was this guy off Hinge texting me, and he obviously knows that I have a sex podcast, and he was like, oh, do you do everything in sex? And I was like, I don't think so. And I was just kind of curious where he was going, but he listed out, he was like, oral, anal. I'm like, Jesus, I haven't even met you, pal. Okay.
Jesus. That is like very intense. Oh, right. I actually have a New York specific question for you. We'll come back to sex toys, but I do have a very New York specific question for you. So I was listening to the latest episode of This American Life, and they were talking about dating during lockdown, and specifically in New York, where people are trying to find, like, they're coupling up, like getting into relationships really, really quick now because they just want someone to like spend the winter with.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I definitely, because I've already noticed, like, even when I was on Hinge, the questions were definitely more intense, like, what are you looking for, what do you want, which I think is great. I started seeing someone and I just recently, like today, thought, Jesus, we're going so fast. It's only been like 2.5 weeks, and by the time this episode comes out, maybe 3 weeks, but like I think it's just that level of intensity of like, you're not, you know, you haven't seen anybody, you haven't been able to touch anybody, and I think people are like, yeah, looking more for relationships, I feel like. But maybe when the vaccine comes, everybody will be like, fuck that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I have a friend who is in a long distance relationship with an American guy, and she's just been telling me she's just feeling like so touch starved that like, and I think this is going to be the same for like tons and tons of like single people and people who are in long distance relationships, like not being able to like hold someone for really long periods of time is just gonna have like so many emotional repercussions.
Yeah, and so many people are trapped. I have a friend and her partner is in a different country. Another one, she ended up leaving America because of it, but it was about a year as long as they were going to see each other. So she left to go to see him. But like, it's just, especially with COVID, it's awful.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Irish here can't leave. Well, anybody, any immigrants here, they can't leave.
Yeah.
Because of the ban, the travel ban. So you're just like fucking waiting it out. I can leave because I have a green card, but I'm one of the lucky ones. And I don't have a partner.
Have you been back since COVID started? Or
I was back in August. So yeah, it was grand. Like everything was open. People were walking around, and now you guys are back in lockdown. So I went at the right time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely it's really hot in my apartment right now. That's why I'm like wearing no clothes. I have the window open. Oh my god, I think I'm dying. But no, so that's so we're all starved for I guess for long distance you can use sex toys and fucking FaceTime and FaceTime sex and all of that.
Yeah, I mean there's plenty of toys now that are like app controlled as well. So yeah. So I kind of have like a weird history with like app controlled toys, and that like I used to stock them and then I didn't for a really long time, and I'm thinking of getting them back in because I think so. There was like a big lawsuit maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Anyway, there was a company called WeVibe. They're like one of the biggest companies in the world. They had an app control. I think they had like one of the first app control toys or like range of app control toys. But some hackers in New Zealand who were presenting at like a hacking conference discovered that they were, that this particular sex toy app was really easy to hack into. And so there was all these questions thrown up about the potential for like sexual assault. Like if you're someone who owns a vibrator and like, let's say your ex has control of that app, like knows your password or whatever, can turn your vibrator on and off. There was also like questions about the company collecting customer data because they were going through like their privacy policy, and like all of the data collecting stuff was buried at the very like bottom of the privacy policy. And so nobody would have seen it, but it was like, they're collecting all this information on their customers about like what time of day they use it, what vibration intensities they're using, what temperature the thing is, and like, just like loads of like really, really random stuff. And so there was this big class action lawsuit, and I think they ended up having to pay out something like $4 or $5 million to their customers in North America. And so after that, I was like, I don't know how I feel about app control toys, but now it's sort of industry standard now. Like most brands would have app control toys. So I'm hoping that like the technology has gotten better in the last 4 or 5 years, that the security is a lot tougher. I have a friend who's doing her master's in cybersecurity. So I was going to send her a vibrator and see what she thinks of the app and like how secure it is. See if she can like hack into it before I start selling them.
I think the hacking into it is scary. Like, and we've all had that scary ex who's a little possessed, a little obsessed. So that would be scary. But I honestly wouldn't care if they're checking the temperature or the time I use it. Is it weird? Like, I'm even with people who are like, oh, don't use TikTok, they're like reading your stuff. I'm like, I don't care. I have no.
Well, yeah. So yeah. So that's the thing. Like I wrote like a blog post about this when this was all happening. I'm like, you know, all of these tech companies are taking our data anyway. And even when they say they're not, like when Facebook says that they're not listening to you on your phone, and I'm just like, yeah, but they're totally listening to you on your phone.
They're so listening. I like just started dating a screenwriter, and ever since then, like, I've been getting these ads for screenplays just because he's been talking about it. So they're just listening to him from my phone. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, there was like a couple months ago, I was just chatting with my boyfriend, and he was talking about how he needs some like a pair of leather boots for winter. And I was just like, okay, well, let's just, and I just like shouted into my phone. I was like, do you hear that? Leather boots. I need leather boots, leather boots. And then the next day there was like ads for fucking leather boots on my phone.
Yeah. Everybody who listens to this now is going to be getting the sex toy ads. Hopefully it's sex shoppa. So let's go through this. So we have for people who are, who identify as women, the best sex toys are going to be like dildo, vibrator, like, or like, let's say basic. So dildo and vibrator, right? That's kind of the basic.
Like dildos and vibrators, and then like anal toys. And then, oh, we didn't even talk about masturbators for folks with penises.
Well, see, that's what I wanted to come to. So we have the basic, because let's say if this is like for like people who are like, I haven't a fucking clue, and this quarantine is making me really want to branch out. So then for men who have willies, what is the basic one for them, like the starter?
So like a really good basic one for folks with penises is like the Tenga egg, which is like the travel size. It only costs a tenner. So if you haven't gotten your COVID check in the mail yet, and you only have a tenner to spend, a Tenga egg is a really good place to start. I'll go get one. Hold on. So I just brought a few Tenga products because I love them so much. But like their most basic model is the egg. So like it looks like a little Kinder egg. And you crack it open, stretch it out, and you pull it over your penis like a condom, and it has texture on the inside. And then you just, you put lubricant in it and then pull it over your penis, and then you masturbate with it.
Wow, this is amazing.
So then... a step up from that is the Tenga spinner. So like a bit bigger, the material that it's made out of is a lot thicker. So you're getting like more of that texture, and it has the internal coil. So what happens with the internal coil is like when you're masturbating with it, it like it wraps around your penis and kind of like squeezes it, like gives it like a little gentle penis hug.
Wow.
So that's the next one. And then the Tanga 3D, which they actually came out with before the spinner, like this one's probably about well, not this one specifically, but the design is about 10 years old and it's fab. Like you can see all of the, like the texture, and that's all, like it looks solid, but it's like, it's really squishy. So it feels really nice. And then the latest one that they came out with is the Krista. So it's completely see-through, which adds a whole new visual element to it, because you can like, you can see your dick through the elastomer and it looks so hot, like just so hot. And then it has like these floating bits. And so it kind of reminds me of like, you know, in the 70s when people just used to put all of their food in Jell-O.
Yeah.
Like it was a way of like preserving it. But then like people were like, let's just make loads of different like Jell-O recipes. Yeah. And they put like veggies in Jell-O and stuff. That's what this reminds me of. But you put your dick in it. So it has like these like more firm, solid bits that are like floating in the gel. And so that, like, that's kind of like the internal coil version of this. So there's just like, there's firmness and there's softness. And depending on like how hard you squeeze and like where you squeeze, it's going to give you like different sensations.
So are they Fleshlights?
So Fleshlight is a brand.
I thought it was like the name. Pardon? Oh, like Hoovers and Hoovers. Okay, yeah.
So Fleshlight would be like the brand name that everybody knows, but like a masturbator or masturbation sleeve is kind of like the general term for what those are.
Oh, a masturbator. Yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the starter pack then for lads. Is there other stuff for like their balls and stuff?
So like some of the bigger ones, so I don't think with a spinner, but definitely with like the Tanga 3D, you can kind of like move it down to the balls and it will kind of like stretch a bit. But there's other toys, like you can get like ball, like stretchers and things that are meant to like bring that pressure on the testicles so that like you get some sensation from that. Hey, yeah, sorry, my boyfriend just walked in. You can close the door. But yeah, there's different toys for like balls and stuff too. But those would be like my biggest sellers would be like the masturbation sleeves. There's also like penis specific vibrators that you can get as well. So there's one in particular that I stock from Fun Factory called the Manta that like, it looks like the base looks like a regular vibrator. And then at the top, it has like these two kind of wings at the top that you'd use as like a stroker, so you'd stroke it like up and down the penis as it vibrates. And it's really good for like either if you're alone or if you're like giving someone a blowjob and you like need an extra hand. It's like you're blowing and you've got the vibrator as well to like go up and down the shaft.
Oh, that's amazing. And what about, because I just learned recently that like Gooch, is that what it's called? Or perineum?
So perineum is like the medical term, but I do love Gooch. Like Gooch is my favorite. Like some people go for taint. I fucking love Gooch as a word.
I got in trouble on TikTok for saying perineum. What's it called? I can't even say it.
Perineum.
Yeah, they got mad at me, but
mad at you for saying perineum.
Yeah, they said I broke a German law.
What?
Yeah, I know. Ugh, who knows? You know yourself. I was doing like erogenous sounds videos, but like ones you wouldn't normally think of, and I'd like looked up all this information about it, and so that was one of them. But it was, so it was saying like if you press that area for the guy, it's really good for them.
Oh yeah, like, well, I mean, it's a muscle. It's giving you like a really nice like muscle massage, but like it's also, you know, we have them too, that like, and like that muscle is there. It's just like it's the bit between the two holes.
So there's no like toy for that.
I mean, there's a lot of like prostate massagers that would have like a bit that comes around the front and like also massages the perineum as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what toys are best for using together if you're, I guess all of them, really, you can just use them together.
Yeah. I mean, like, Yeah, it's funny when people ask me like what's the best couples toys? I'm like, all of them. I don't know what to say, because it's like, you know, I think people have this sense that like sex toys are a very solitary thing, or like they've traditionally been a very like solitary thing, rather than like, oh, this is something fun that we can do together or like in groups.
Yeah, definitely. I think the last partner, not this current one, but he was always like, hey, bring your vibrator, like he thought it was hot, which is great.
Yeah, I think a lot of times like the toys that are often like designed for people to use simultaneously sometimes like aren't the best, because like not everybody is going to be into the same toys or like trying to like position. So like the one I'm thinking of is there's a certain category of toy that are kind of like C-shaped, and so they have like the internal bit that like hooks into the vagina, and then the external bit that like vibrates against the clitoris while your partner is penetrating you. But the problem is, if you're using like a penis or a strap-on to like penetrate and you're going in and out, it's like it's constantly, you have two bodies that are like knocking into that toy back and forth, and so like the clitoral vibrator is just like knocking off of your vibrator constantly, so mm-hmm. so it isn't really hands-free because you're always having to readjust it, and I just like I find those like so like far more frustrating than they're worth. So like, why not just get like a regular like a vibrator that you love normally using on your own and using it while your partner's present, or like teaching your partner how to use it on you?
Yeah, I think that's good. I actually, because I know last time we had you on, I had said that I hadn't used a vibrator before, but in hindsight, I had used a sex toy with an ex-boyfriend in Ireland, but only once, and it was shite. But it was the ring with the little vibrator, you know, the...
Oh, yes, yeah. The little, like, the cock rings that come in, like, the little condom packaging.
Yeah, like, you probably got in, like, a bathroom toilet stall thing, you know, yeah. Like, beside the condoms. But it's just, like, what you said, because he's going in and out, it was just leaving... It wasn't, like, on my clitoris, actually, so it didn't... So I was just like, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah, and, like, so much of the branding on a lot of those toys is to kind of, like, placate heterosexual couples, and specifically the man in a heterosexual couple, and make him feel not like redundant.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I hate that's what they're like, oh, well, here's a sex toy that's not going to make him feel inferior. And I'm like, that's not what sex toys are about. And if if you're in a heterosexual relationship and the man in that relationship is feeling inferior to a sex toy, that is something that he needs to go to therapy for.
Absolutely.
That's not right.
And especially when it comes to like straight couples anyway, women find it really hard to orgasm a lot of the time anyway, and maybe are slower to learn about their body. So if we take a while to figure it out, you shouldn't feel bad that you can't figure it. You should be like, okay, yeah, bring in a toy or whatever. Like, it should definitely not hit their ego whatsoever.
Exactly.
I feel like maybe for, I don't know, like I've never been with a woman, but I feel like if I had have explored that more, I would have been more in touch with my body, because I feel like that's more part of it, maybe, if that makes sense. I would have been learning about hers as well.
The times that I've been with women, it's been a lot more like asking questions and like trying to like figure out like, what are you into? Oh, I'm actually into this. Oh, wow. That's so weird. Like, we're so different, but also still so like the same. But yeah, it's like a lot more, just like asking questions and like getting to know how each other's body works more so than I think like anytime I've been with a guy, it's just been, I think like, I mean, definitely as I got older, like much more asking questions, but I think like when I was younger, like in my late teens and early 20s, it was a lot more just like guys taking the reins and not really, there's like a set of like specific kind of like sex acts. It's like he goes down on you and then he fucks you. Like there's no kind of like trying to like figure out what the other person likes or dislikes. It's just like that's just what you do when you're in your late teens, early 20s. I don't know.
Yeah, I do definitely prefer sex. The older I get, just communicating and being like, let me, because then it just makes it easier. You're like, let me know. Because every guy I've been with has liked things differently. I do think I'm over in America. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm older, but like the sex communication has been pretty good here.
Yeah.
Like I feel with the partners I've had here, but maybe that would be the same in Ireland if I were, because I'm older. I left Ireland when I was 24, so it's hard to make the comparison.
Yeah, same. Like I left the States when I was 20. And so like the vast majority of my like sexual relationships were after I moved here. So it's hard to like, and like most of the sexual relationships I had over back home were like when I was in high school. So it's like, it's hard to say, like when people ask me to compare Americans to Irish people in terms of like sexual emotional intelligence, it's like you're comparing teenagers to adults, so it's hard to do that.
Yeah, and I think as well it's just like different people. Like you could have four Irish guys who are kind of like bang bang bang, and then the fifth one could be like, oh, let me read your body. But I don't think it means it's necessarily different that they're Irish. I know that there's definitely a bit of shame in our culture, but like the best lick out I ever got was by an Irish guy over here, and it was like fucking head explode, and like the sex wasn't great, but the lick out was, he definitely made it, and like it I've never reached that other planet, and I was like to him afterwards, I was like, oh my gosh, how did you do that? And he was just like, oh, I was with my ex for 5 years, and you know, 5 years of licking, you learn some things.
That's great. Shame about the dickin', but great about the licking.
Yeah. And we just, our first, this was, I actually forgot I dated this guy. I dated him for like 3 weeks years ago. A nice guy. I definitely wasn't in the right headspace to date anybody. So I'm sure if anybody asked him, he'd be like, oh, she was a bit annoying. But yeah, he was just like, yeah, he's very regimented. The reason why he was good at licking is because he could just stick at it, do what he knew. But in sex, I don't like that. He was just like very regimented, you know. So but that's fine. I want to ask you, okay, so we've kind of covered the toys and stuff like that, and then, oh well, there was a question about a U-shape and someone asked, how do you use that?
I think that might have been the one that I was talking about, the U-shape one, the one that's like internal and then like has the clitoris, and then so it's like you're wearing it while someone's penetrating you. I think that's what they meant.
Okay, so that's that you're not a fan of that one.
Wouldn't be a fan of those, no.
Okay, and then so another question was noise. Like there was a woman wrote in and she's a parent and she doesn't want to have to just keep blaring her music. Is there a vibrator that's less noisy?
Yeah, so one brand that I really love is Sfakum. Are they a Swedish brand? They're kind of like a step down. Like everybody knows Lilo. Lilo are kind of like the most popular brand in the world, even though I think they're like really overly expensive for what they are. But Sfakum are a really great brand as well. Just as good a quality and about half the price. But their motors are really quiet. Like they have one that I recommend, because this is the other thing about like Irish people, is like everyone is moving home and back in with their parents during lockdown. And so I'm getting like so many emails from people that are like, what is the quietest vibe in stock? And I always recommend the Sfakum CC. It's like this like long, slim, it's like very discreet vibrator, but like incredibly quiet. For a rechargeable, it's like, it's so quiet. Brands that I would be weary of if you are looking for something that's more on the quiet spectrum would be like Rocks Off and Satisfier. Great vibrators, but they're a bit more like on the noisy side. But Sfakum's really quiet and I really like them. And like Fun Factory, their vibrators can be like, they're not loud, they have kind of like a dull rumble. So if you throw like a pillow or like a duvet over it, they're fine. But they would be kind of be like the medium volume ones.
I've used it. I love the black vibrator you gave me, or that we got off you, that Des bought.
Which one was it? Was it the...
I'll show you. Oh, you know what? It's in the bathroom. Oh.
Was it the... was it like a little lipstick vibe one?
It's bigger. It's like,
okay. Oh, yes. That was a Rocks Off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like pretty. It's sleek. Yeah. But yeah,
what did you think of the noise on that one?
It's loud.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's loud. Like, I have to put on my music for sure. Yeah. But there's been like times where I'll be like vibrating with it, and then, you know, like, you'll just lose yourself. I'm very loud anyway. I'm like a loud, or I sound like a fucking animal is being put down. The guy I'm dating now, we were having sex and I came like four times, and afterwards he was like, he kept stopping himself from coming, and I was like, come, and he was like, okay, but like, I'll finish you off afterwards. And I was like, I came four times, and he was like, you did? And I was like, when that noise at like despair, that weird noise, that's me coming. And he was like, oh, okay.
I like how you could have gone like, I sound like an animal having sex, but no, you went with, I sound like an animal being put down.
It is though, you know, it's just like, okay, I can't do a good impression of it. That's not it exactly.
I sound like my dog when I step on his foot.
Yeah, okay, it's like that, but with less high pitchedness. It's more like, oh my god, so embarrassing. But yeah, so like sometimes I was like masturbating here with the toy or whatever, and I had music on, but like I'll like orgasm and it'll switch to the next song, so you'll hear me, and then I'm be like embarrassed, so I'll be like pretending I'm just like coughing in my room. Even though my roommate's like, she knows what's up, she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I've been there. Like the last place that I lived in, I had like two flatmates, and the walls were paper thin, and I think I posted something on my Instagram stories where I was like advertising whatever vibrator it was that I was advertising. I'm like, so quiet that your flatmates can't hear you. And then I got a message from my flatmate that was like, we can totally hear you.
Oh my god, I love that.
And then I couldn't come home for 3 days.
You're like, well, do you want one? There's a roommate discount fee or yeah. Discount. That's amazing. And so this is like a question, I don't know if we've asked you before, but it's one that comes up, or people who will be like anti vibrators will be like, oh, it affects your sensitivity then for future sex. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a lie.
Right, I was thinking, because it just makes it more comfortable with your body.
Yeah, so there's a myth that like vibrators will desensitize your clitoris, and like while that is temporarily true, like it can, because like if you're going from like using a vibrator to then like trying to use your hands immediately after, like your hands just aren't gonna cut it as well as a vibrator will. Mm-hmm. But like you're not going to get like so used to a vibrator that you're swearing off any other kind of stimulation for the rest of your life. It doesn't do like permanent damage. It's not doing damage. It's just like you're used to one set of sensations, and then you go and you use it like a different set of sensations immediately after, and it like it's not going to work the same. So yeah, no, that's like a total myth. Like I have like in my toy kit a range of vibrators ranging from like a mains powered fucking jackhammer of a vibrator down to like the little Tanga Aroha mini, which I would just like, I would use whenever I was like going over to like my boyfriend's house or something when we lived in different houses. It was just like something nice and small that I could like throw into my handbag and take with me. And everything in between. And like, yes, the little Tanga isn't as strong as like the mains powered jackhammer vibrator, but it would still get me there. So I do not buy into this myth, and I think that it's pretty debunked at this stage that like vibrators desensitize you for life. It just doesn't happen.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I do think like the more I masturbate and the more I orgasm as well, even that, the more I can have multiple orgasms and enjoy it more.
Yeah, so that's like, that's the other thing is like, typically, women will, do you ever do this? Like where I call it COVID brain, where I'm like in the middle of a sentence and then the end of the sentence just drops off in my head. And I'm like, what the fuck was I talking about?
Yeah. So, you have Katie brain. Cause I had that before COVID.
You were doing it long before it was cool. Yeah. What were we talking about?
So I guess the debunking the sensitivity, I guess it kind of, what I said was
sorry, the multiple orgasms thing. Yeah. Sorry to talk over you. I just completely
Great.
Yeah. So, so women typically the more we orgasm, the hornier we get. So we're able to have and typically with guys, what happens is they will have an orgasm and then want to fall asleep, because that's just the chemical makeup in their brains, happy time chemicals are released in their brains as soon as they orgasm. And so they rarely want to have another one. Whereas we get hornier the more we orgasm. So it's actually better for us to masturbate, because it means that we're constantly getting more and more horny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're just figuring out what's going to get you off quicker. So for guys, is a guy friend of mine, he's has multiple sexual partners, and my guy that I started seeing, both of them said this to me. So they both on separate occasions said this, but they've both stopped wanking because they perform better in the bedroom if they're not jerking off. So this one guy who has multiple women, he was just I was also wanking every night and I just wasn't able, I was coming too quick or wasn't enjoying it as much. And once I stopped doing that and was saving it for sex, it was better. And the guy I'm seeing was I can perform better when I'm not jerking off and I'm just saving it for that. Have you ever heard of that?
The only time I've ever heard that was in incel communities.
oh no.
I'm sure he's lovely, but also maybe check his browser history. But there's oh my god. Yeah, the only time I've ever heard that is in kind of incel communities, the thought process being that if you save up your sperm, because this is this isn't even a new thing. This has been a belief system that's been going on since the 1800s, that holding in your sperm makes you more powerful.
They definitely didn't mean it like that. They were they were both saying, as in, well, one guy said that he just felt he could last longer if he's not wanking all the time. So he actually felt that he was performing better for the woman. It was not about the cum. And same with my guy. It's going to be a point of contention between us, I think, and I hope not. But he already thinks I'm crazy horny. It's only been a couple of weeks, and we've had a good, we probably had sex too soon, but I just love sex. Okay.
I don't see a problem with that.
I know, but he told me the other night, he was I stopped jerking off just because I want to be able to perform the best at you, and I don't have as high a sex drive as you, so this way I'm saving it up for when I'm with you or whatever.
Saying that you need to do the same for him?
No. He's touch yourself more. He just thinks he thinks we don't have an equal sex drive, and he was nervous about it. And we're so new. He's trying to appease me and be the best version of himself, I think. But he said to me he'd stop jerking off just so he was able to meet my because I'd bang and then I'd bang again, or I'd bang in the morning as well. And he that's never been kind of something he's been into. So he was I really want to satisfy you, so I stopped jerking off so that I could save up all the horniness for when I'm with you and I'll be in the mood.
But nice.
Yeah, it is nice. But it was just weird that he said it and then my friend said it as well, and I was is that true? Is it, if guys do guys need to regulate their wanking? I don't know.
I suppose if you guys are on a separate, if your desire levels are different, and if you're horny all the time, it can go at the drop of a hat, and he kind of needs a bit more build up time. Yeah, I think that's actually, I take back what I said. I don't take back what I said. I have seen that in incel communities, but I think what he's doing is actually, that sounds kind of lovely.
Yeah, he is very lovely. He's very much how can I keep her happy all of the time? He thinks about things. So yeah, it's definitely for me. It's not an incel thing. I think he would love if I just masturbated in the bedroom and he could just watch Sopranos. So okay, so that was just something I wanted to ask you to see if you'd heard before. Another thing I wanted to ask is, so another negative thing that comes up with toys is like people being like, it's chemicals, don't put it in your body. Well, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah. Like, so the problem is that the sex toy industry is like unregulated. So like, and this is like worldwide, this isn't just in any one particular country, it's like it's worldwide. So you can make a sex toy, and I said this before, that I'm just going to do my spiel again, you can make a sex toy out of any old shite and it is perfectly legal to do so. But that said, if you were shopping in like the kind of like feminist queer boutiques, like let's say like Babeland or Good Vibrations or Sex Sheppa, or like any of the kind of like small queer boutiques, like the vast majority of them would be kind of like exclusively body safe, or you can like ask, like be sure to like ask for a body safe material. So like silicones, hard plastic, stainless steel, wood, like stuff like that, that basically any material that is like safe in the kitchen is safe in a sex toy product. Things that you need to look out for are like PVC toys, because PVC in like PVC is like the main one, because it can be made like really, really cheaply into a sex toy. But to get PVC to like that jelly state, so when you see like basically anything wiggly that's see-through, that isn't like a masturbation sleeve, because this is just an elastomer, but like if you see like a see-through wiggly dildo, it's probably a jelly dildo. And they aren't, because you can't get silicone to go like transparent like that. And PVC, to get it to that jelly state, you have to pump it full of plastic softeners. And a lot of the plastic softeners that they use are banned in children's toys. So so if it's not good to put in children's toys, why are we putting it inside ourselves in adult toys? So that's kind of like the main thing, is like making sure when you're doing your shopping, to make sure that you get, like, I would just say, like, go with silicone. Silicone's, like, hypoallergenic. You can get it in, like, a range of textures. And, like, you can get, like, really, really hard silicone. You can also get, like, really soft, squishy silicone and everything in between. So I would definitely, and you can get, like, silicone toys for about as cheap as you can, like, a dodgy jelly toy these days. Like, silicone has really come down in price. Like, I have a couple of silicone toys that I stock that are just like really basic beginners silicone dildos for like $25.
Oh, that's great. That's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a steal. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess like anything when it comes to your body, just doing that extra 10 minutes research is
it's major. Cause like there's like I remember when I first started, I was doing all this research on toy materials and what to look out for when shopping for like body safe toys and stuff. And like all of these stories about people buying dodgy toys and ending up with like bacterial infections, because that's the other thing about PVC, is like it's porous, so it can harbor bacteria. You're never going to get it like fully clean. And then I remembered, like I was thinking back to a time when I like wasn't doing all of this research, and wasn't a jelly toy, but it was definitely like a PVC toy. And around the time that I bought that toy, I was getting tons of like yeast infections, and I didn't know why. And I just assumed it was like UTIs and yeast infections. And I thought it was because the boyfriend that I had at the time had a really big penis, but it was more likely because I was using this toy, this like sex toy all the time, that like couldn't get fully clean because it's porous.
This reminds me of, which isn't to do with sex, but it's just like an interesting thing with like things like that with germs and stuff. If you are drinking draft beer from a bar that doesn't clean their lines, the next day if you feel really ill and like really hungover, it's actually probably just because of all of the germs in the lines.
Whoa.
And it makes you sick. So like, it's recommended if you go to a bar that kind of seems a bit like dirty, like they're not a craft beer bar, because craft beer bars, they're like more regulated, I think. They say just get bottled beer, don't drink draft. Now in Ireland, they clean out their taps, because I remember working in bars, we always cleaned out our taps. So this might be more an American thing, but isn't that? It's just the germs inside the thing making you sick.
Yeah, yeah. Don't drink in she beans down the country.
Like, yeah, so same with you and your vag. It's just a germ in your thing making you sick.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna keep that in mind.
Yeah. That's what my boss, I've been working in craft beer for like 6 years now, and or 5 and a half, and that's what my boss told me. But like, maybe he's just like spreading the lies against these dive bars. and then I also read as well that these toys can help with problems. So like if you have like
vaginismus. Yeah. So that's like, it's interesting because that is like one thing that I kind of, it's an area that I sort of accidentally fell into. So I'm like adjusting my camera. Because I have friends who have like vaginismus and endometriosis. And so I was just trying to like find toys that would suit them.
Is it that's skinny vagina, right?
Yes. I love that term for it. Skinny vagina. What happens with vaginismus is like the muscles around your vagina are like tensing up and they're tightening up. And like, it's kind of partially psychosomatic. So it's happening a lot. Like what ends up happening is like women will try to have sex with a partner, penetrative sex, and those muscles clamp up so much that you can't get anything through. It's like trying to put a penis or a sex toy through a brick wall. Like, it's just not going to happen. And then there's other things like vulvodynia, which is just like really, really intense pain, like around the vulva. Endometriosis is like when you have endometrium, like it's not endometrium. It's like material in like around your uterus and around your ovaries that it's like endometrium, but it's not. It's like really, really confusing. But basically it sticks to the outsides of your reproductive organs and makes it like really, really painful when you're having a period or just like generally. But like it tugs at all of your reproductive organs and can make sex really painful. So it's like it's trying to find toys that, so I found myself like asking my friends like just tons of questions about like what works for them, what doesn't work for them, and then like trying to make suggestions, and then just kind of fell in with Endometriosis Ireland and like a bunch of different like physical therapists and occupational therapists and trying to figure out different ways that we can help like their clients, because a lot of times these folks aren't able to like talk to their GPs about this stuff. And it's like, it's something that's never really been focused on. It seems to just be like a handful of like doctors and healthcare professionals, that are really trying to like tackle this and allow people who have these conditions to have a more like fulfilling sex life. Because oftentimes, like if you have, a sexual health issue, it's really super medicalized. And so, people have trouble like getting it treated and then like applying it to their, trying to apply it to make their sex life more fulfilling. Because they like doctors don't want to talk about like, you know, how's your sex life? Are you enjoying yourself? They don't want to talk about it in the sense of pleasure. They only want to talk about it in like a medical sense. And we need to like move past that and get past like some of that professional embarrassment or like what we think is like inappropriate to ask someone, to make sure that people are enjoying their sex lives.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. What I read, like a really easy explanation of it was basically that if you're using a vibrator and you have a lot of those issues, it's just that it promotes blood flow. So it even helps with if you're wanting to get wet for a guy, if you've been struggling with like not getting wet, that the blood flow just helps with you. So it's like such a simple thing. Like, and I know a lot of people, girls who have told me that, they find it hard to get wet. And it's like, oh, so maybe if they use a vibrator before sex or whatever, that might add to it. So that's so helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And period pains, right? And menopause pains as well.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like anytime, like, well, I don't have a period anymore because I'm on, like, I have the Marina coil. But before that, like, anytime I get like really bad cramps, just have a go with the vibrator and like cramps were gone for at least a half hour to an hour. It was great.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's so great. What was the other thing I wanted to ask you? Let me see and make sure I got all the questions that people had. There was one last question, but it's not to do about, oh, well, there was one, are you going to get lingerie in?
Oh, okay. No, not for the minute anyway. So I'm like currently working out of my home office, and to be able to like get lingerie in, you'd have to get it in like every size and every color for each individual like thing. So I'm staying away from apparel for the moment. And also like the kinds of lingerie that I would like to get in, I'd want to get from like independent designers, and unfortunately they don't typically do like wholesale. Like the only way you can get a lot of like lingerie wholesale is by doing it like through fast fashion, and I wouldn't feel totally comfortable doing that. And I'm trying to kind of promote a more sustainable brand. So what I do is like recommend that you go to like Etsy, have so many good like lingerie and fetish wear designers, and just buy from them directly. Lots of great designers on Instagram that you can find, like Instagram and Etsy, like you'll find them, they're out there. A lot of people will do like custom sizing and custom fit. Cause like, you know, the real kind of like Ann Summersy stuff, that's like, it's that really plasticky feeling, like elastic, and it feels like very Halloween-y or like hen party, and it doesn't always have the best fit. And it's still massively expensive. So I would say like, definitely do yourself a favor, like invest in some like really nice custom fit lingerie from like an independent designer, and go slow fashion.
That's great. Okay. And I want to read out the last question. This is actually from Serena Kajani. She's been on the podcast before. She's amazing. But she was like, when you're talking to Sex Shuppa tomorrow, can you ask her thoughts on sex positivity in Ireland 2021, and if it's improved, or do women still suffer from the aftermath of a very Catholic Ireland?
Oh my God. Okay. Yes and yes. That's a really great question, coming off of the back of like everything that's like been revealed about the mother and baby homes, like that report that just came out. Like, Catholic Ireland is still to this day hurting women. Well, just like hurting people, hurting everyone. But we are getting more and more sex positive, which is fantastic. Like, I think people are much more open to talking about sex. Like, even in the last, so I've been running Sex Shuppa for 8 years. Even in the last 8 years, I've seen a huge difference. And like, part of that is down to, excuse me, part of that is down to just kind of, I think, general progress, but also like the last two referenda for marriage equality and for abortion rights, especially for abortion rights, really like forced everybody to have those really tough discussions and conversations about bodily autonomy and about consent. And we've had a few like really difficult like rape cases in the last few years as well. And again, like that's thrown up like a lot of conversations that I think we just normally wouldn't have. So I think like, yes, there's a lot of like really horrific stuff that's gone on in Ireland and is still going on to this day. But the silver lining is that we are learning from it. And I'm seeing like a huge improvement just in the last decade. Like before, like when I first started off, nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to give me an interview. I was just like some weird sex shop girl. And I got a lot of people who were like, I think it's great what you're doing, but I don't need a vibrator. Or like, I think it's great what you're doing, but like, it was this real sort of like looking down their noses. Like, oh, it's great that you're doing something like so positive, but like, I'm not one of those weirdos. So, yes, like yes and yes. Like there are still Catholic Church. We're still going through a Catholic Church hangover, but we're getting there. And it's all like, there's always going to be work to do.
Yeah.
But we are getting there.
Yeah, I'll say from my own experience, and there definitely was, and I wasn't brought up extremely Catholic, just like normal Catholic. But no one ever talked about masturbation. And I've said that on the, like, female masturbation, I've said that on the podcast before. But let's say the past 6 years in New York has definitely me being slowly but surely, like, kind of getting past a lot of that shame, overcoming a lot of stuff that is very, now that I'm here, I realized it was definitely inside me. And still, to a point, like, I still feel like with sex, I'm like, oh, I'm so comfortable. And then someone else say something that they like, and I'm like, oh my God, that's like porn. And I feel like this, like, I don't know if I want to do that. And so I'm still like trying to defeat those notions a bit, if that makes sense. Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Like, if there's something that makes you uncomfortable, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to, like, push yourself to like that thing. Like, that's not sex positivity. That's you pushing yourself to do something that you're uncomfortable with. So,
but like, I also think it's like, not even that, I totally agree with, but I think for me, I'm uncomfortable with everything until I try it. So yeah. I know I'll probably never do dick in my arse, just because I know that's not a road I want to go down, and that's fine. But I do think the first time a guy asked me to lick his balls, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And now I love it. I feel like it's like a superpower thing that I do, even though I'm sure all women over here do it, but like, it's just something no one ever told me at home. So I'm like, I feel so comfortable doing it. And if I had been stubborn and been like, I don't want to do that, but I do know what you mean. Like, I'm not going to let a guy like choke me to death. I don't want to do that. But it is just like being like, okay, well, I can try it. And if I don't like it, that's fine. But if I had been in Ireland, I would have, if a guy was like, lick my balls, I'd be like, use an excuse not to talk to him again.
One like good piece of like good sexual health news coming from Ireland is the HSC helped fund or was it a HSC program? Anyway, they did like a pilot program for at-home STI testing, which has been like, first of all, we've needed to do this for fucking years. Like, there was like anyone who lived in Dublin, like, going to St. James's Hospital on a fucking Tuesday to go to like the free clinic and having to queue for hours and hours and hours and then being told like we're done for the day, or having to pay out like at least 100 euros to go get like a test and a, you know, privately from your GP was just like not working. And so they did like a pilot program. I think they only, I don't know like how many tests they had, probably like a couple thousand or something, but it was for Dublin, Cork and Kerry, for free at home, like STI testing. And it was so overwhelmingly, they got so much demand that they ran out of tests within 24 hours of launching it.
That's amazing. I'm so proud of people in Ireland being like, oh, this is a great opportunity, I'm going to do it. And like, no matter what, we do have a culture where we don't, like when I started doing this podcast and I was talking about my private life, people were like, what the fuck are you doing? So we do have a culture where we don't like people knowing our business. So this is like the perfect thing for us. And STD rates are getting higher in Ireland. And we don't know, like, the thing is, for me, I'm 30. When I found out I had HPV, I was like 2 years ago, and I literally thought that was AIDS. That's how much I had no fucking clue what that was. I didn't know what she was saying to me. And then she explained it and it was fine. It's not a big deal. It's like everybody had it, whatever. And now we're finding out. I think it was before actually the Irish thing. So maybe 3 or 4 years ago now that I'm thinking about it. And then we found out about everybody, a lot of women in Ireland had it. A lot of women got sick. But we just don't know. So it's okay to be like, I don't know about STDs, and just try to like educate yourself or whatever, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of like the flip side of it, is like the reason why STI rates are so high is because like we just don't have a culture of sex education in Ireland. And like, even now, like when I talk to Gen Z friends who, you know, just graduated from school, like maybe 5-6 years ago, who were like, yeah, I didn't get any sex education, or like the sex education that I got was like really wanting, and that they didn't talk about LGBTQ relationships. They didn't talk about like any sort of like consent or sex for pleasure. It was just like, penis goes in vagina, make baby. Yeah, don't gross. Go in the butt. Like,
I know that was my one. They said, don't go in the butt. I remember that. I really did. There was, and that's the only part I remember. And I thought that I remembered it wrong. And I asked my stepmother recently, and she was like, "No, you came home and you were like," because it was very horrific what the woman said. But
Did they tell you, they're like, if you have anal sex, you're gonna have to wear diapers the rest of your life?
She said your organs will fall out of your arse.
Yeah, that's what they told us too.
Like what the fuck? My stepmom was like, "No, Katie, that's not true." She's a social care worker though, so she's like, you know, like even my sister when she was younger, like when she was very small, it was always like the proper names, like vagina, penis, none of this bullshit. And then one day my sister was like, she was like four or something, and someone annoyed her, and she was like, "You're a vagina head." I think as well for the Irish culture, and this goes for people who are listening in America who are now, one thing that's great about America is if you do have health insurance, yes, the health insurance is shite and it's bad, but if you're poor you get it. So I'm poor, I have it, and if you have a good job you get it. So like, you know, you can have it. You get a free 1 year annual. Your STD tests are covered. Now, you should be getting STD tests every 3 months. But I mean, like, there's at least that. Like, you go to the doctor in Ireland, they'd never be like, "Do you want to get your STD test?" Would they?
I don't know. I think the last time I got my, UTI, IUD. Last time I got my IUD, like, inserted, they asked if they're like, "When's the last time you had an STI check and I was like, "I don't know, a couple years ago." Like I basically like hadn't gotten an STI check since I coupled up with my current boyfriend. Yeah. So they're like, "You should probably get an STI check."
Okay, that's good. Well, at least they're telling you. I do think it's probably, yeah, it's just easier to get it in New York because there's so many free testing clinics. It's like there's no excuse not to get it done. But I think in Ireland anyway, and maybe other people in America have this attitude where it's like, if I don't go, it's fine. Like if I don't, I'm trying to think of the perfect saying for this, but basically like out of sight, out of mind when it comes to like,
yeah, like if you put your head in the sand that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have STDs, you know. I don't wanna go down that road. If I get tested, it'll show I do. And it's like a bad way of looking at things. Just fucking get yourself tested. And
it's really like not a big deal at all. Mm. Like I got my test in June. Was it June or July? It was right before I moved. I got it done, and it is like you get like a finger prick and you get a quick swab, and that's pretty much it. Like they take a bit of blood, they do a little swab. It doesn't hurt.
And if COVID's shown anything, let's say with people who, because a lot of people have, I believe genital herpes is like way bigger than what we think the number, or there's people who have it and they don't even know they have it. I heard that it was one in five, but I wonder if they're including, I believe if I read it right, it was 1 in 5 people have genital herpes in America anyway. I don't know about Ireland. I don't know if they can have the statistics.
I thought it was like 1 in 5 people had HPV, which is like the virus that causes herpes, isn't it? It causes genital warts.
Yeah, HPV, well, you can have, okay, so HPV, there's thousands of strains. So you can have a strain that causes genital warts, or you can get a strain that causes cancer. You can get like multiple strains. The strain I got was one that, it wasn't a genital wart one, thank God, but it was, and like if it was, you just fucking deal with it. It's grand. But I just like, I'm burning a mole off on my vagina. I have enough things to be fucking trying to burn off. But it was the one that can cause your cells to turn and be cancerous. So you have to monitor it, and it clears itself up on its own, or it might never. But apparently you can get it. HPV spreads because there's so many strains of it. It just spreads even from like hand to vagina to penis contact. Like it's on your hand. It's everybody has it. Like it's something like but I'm gonna look up the actual, because I believe so herpes is HVS, there's 1 and 2, and how many people have herpes. So apparently like 90% of the population has their HVS 1, because it's like that's just a, okay, so 3.7 billion people under 50 have. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't know. Oh, it says only like 11%, actually. Never mind.
That's still a good number.
Yeah, like,
I know like a few years ago, there was like a big headline it made the news over here, that like chlamydia and gonorrhea cases went up like by 30% in 1 year in Ireland.
Oh, here, I found it. One out of every six people between 14 and 49 have genital herpes. So one in six in that age group.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But sorry, you were saying?
Oh, just like the rates of STIs have gone up. Like there was like a huge increase in the space of 1 year, a few years ago, of like chlamydia and gonorrhea.
Yeah, and look, you know, very.
And so this is like, again, why like you need to get checked and like, and not see it as a big deal, because so many people, like we all, I saw a really great talk at Electric Picnic 1 year by a microbiologist who was like, we really need to get rid of this like STI stigma, because it's causing people to not go to the doctor. Yeah. Like if you were sick with anything else, you go to the doctor and you get it sorted. But not getting it sorted is going to have like so many further reaching consequences. And like the embarrassment, we need to like really do a lot more work to get rid of like that embarrassment and shame like around STIs and the idea that you're like either clean or dirty, because it's not that. It's like either you have a virus or like an infection and you need to take care of it, or like you let it get worse and worse and affect your health long term.
Well, yeah. So this is, so Erica Spears, she's been on the podcast before, she has herpes, and she wrote a piece about how, and I didn't read it properly. I just read what she posted on her Instagram, but it was basically how COVID is showing about like more infectious diseases and the shame. And from that, it made me think like, look, people are still fucking, even though there's COVID. So like, you know, if you have these ones that are lifetime, like herpes or whatever, like I think if you're honest and you just know the risks and you tell someone, yeah, they're not gonna not fuck you. They're not gonna not date you. I think like, and I think COVID is showing that, because people are going out, they're meeting up.
And then the people who don't date you, those are the people you don't want to date anyway, because they're assholes.
Exactly. That's like me with, I want a relationship. So my stepmom was like, at the start, kind of be like, oh, what are you looking for? And she was like, you're not gonna scare them off, because you just don't want to date fuckboys. So that's, you know, if you're very much like, oh, I'm looking to meet someone and be in a relationship one stage, she's like, you know, it doesn't have to be like, I want to date you. But like, she was like, at least if you set them up that way, if they're like, okay, good luck, it's like, it's fine. You just haven't wasted your time. So similar thing.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. Thank you so much. Will you tell people where to find you?
Yeah. So you can find me at sexshoppa.ie. So that's sexshoppa.ie. Or I'm on Instagram and Twitter. That's pretty much like where I live on the internet. And it's just at sexshoppa, all one word. However, Instagram, this is like a whole other topic that we could like do an entire episode on, but Instagram/Facebook changed their guidelines around like adult content. And so they're making it really, really hard. And they're like policing adult content. And like anyone who works in the sex industry, if you're like using words like sex or dildos or like sex positive or vibrators or anything like that, or gooch even, that's probably why TikTok came down on you, because like all of these big tech companies are really policing like sex language really hard, but not neo-Nazis for some reason. So I also have a backup account on Instagram that's like on Shoppa Ganace, with like little underscores between each word.
So even if you have the word sex, because I have sex in my tweets and shit.
Yeah, well, Twitter's another story. Twitter isn't,
no,
like,
but I post it on my Instagram. Is that okay?
It could get taken down.
No, like, but they're not going to delete
it's
your...
more like it's more like if people like report you, you're more likely to be taken down. But like, I'm already known to them as like a bad sex person. Like I have sex literally in my name. And I've already been like blacklisted. I can't advertise on any social media platform because I am I work in the sex industry. I've like had photos taken down. I've had like people report me for like bad language because like I'm talking about sex. So yeah, just so that's like a whole other thing, is like if you have like people who work in the sex industry that you like, please like show support by like liking and sharing their posts and stuff. Because the other thing that they're doing is like the algorithm is shrinking our reach down to nothing. Cause they're like, oh, that's a sex person. We don't want their stuff being seen. And so like where I would get like a few hundred likes on any given post, it's like down to like 40 or 50.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode. Please follow Shauna everywhere. And if you want to sign up to the Patreon again, it's patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. And if you have time, a rate and a review will be great. Tell your friends, you know. I love you all. And thanks so much again. And I'm excited about next week's episode. It's already recorded, but it was with Caitlin Reese and Oscar Iden. They're both comedians in New York City, both very hilarious, and both don't identify as straight. So they talk to me about not being straight and what queer means, what it's like to be a gay man in New York City, and sex advice, relationship advice, and when they came out. Absolutely delighted they came on The Shift. So very excited for you guys to hear that next week, and just have a lovely week, and I'll talk to you soon, and stay safe.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.